Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Do you have a shutdown coming up? If you're in charge of Rotograte, Riley's, or CE boilers that need to be repaired or inspected, call Seneca Steel Erectors at 1-800-853-8225. With over 20 years of experience, we get the job done, and we get it done quickly. Again, that number is 1-800-853-8225. Seneca Steel Erectors, your boiler repair specialist.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 6th of April, 2015. The title is Benchmarking. I got to thinking about benchmarking the performance of paper machines the other day. Admittedly, this was after someone asked me about it, but nevertheless, I got to thinking about it in depth, thinking back over my experiences. The best benchmarking I've ever seen is this. Benchmark yourself against running flat out 24/7. This should always be the goal. Nothing else should count. Why benchmark yourself against your competitors? Are you telling me your goal is to become just as good, not better than your competitors? Some goal. What if your competitors aren't very good? I once worked in a facility that not only made paper, we had an adjoining printing plant. Of course, we had some industrial engineers on staff who were always working on efficiency in the printing plant. I had not been there long when I asked one of these IEs about the efficiency on a certain press. The response? The press was running at 98% efficiency. Now, I walked by that press several times a day and I almost never saw it running. I dug deeper. That 98% was against, quotes, standard, end quotes. My standard, that is, when compared to running 24 hours a day, meant it was running about 70% of the time. Soon, not of my doing, the printing plant manager was replaced and most of the IEs were gone. It makes no difference if you run a printing plant, paper machine, or powerhouse. The standard to measure yourself against is operating continuously.
And now let's pause a moment for this commercial message.
Hi, Caleb. I just finished the latest issue of Paper Times 2000. Want to read it?
What for?
Well, here's an article on a new machine startup at Dynamic Paper in Lahti, Finland.
That's old news.
How about an article on a fire at Pleasant Paper in Holyoke, Massachusetts? Seems there are some things here we need to know.
That happened 6 weeks ago. We have already discussed in my department.
Well, do you remember David Felder, who used to work here? I see he was promoted to a headquarters job at New Zealand Paper Adventures.
Gosh, Shirley, that happened 4 months ago.
Suddenly, I am feeling out of date. How are you so on top of the news, Caleb?
I go to Pappardello Publications with Nip Impressions, Paper Money, and Pulp and Paper Radio International. I get the news when it happens, not on some publishing schedule.
Really?
Yes. News, analysis, opinion, and insight served up fresh daily on newsletters, websites, internet radio, and via LinkedIn. I can get most of these on my phone. They even have a service called Simultweet. Pappardello's everywhere.
Wow, how do I sign up?
Just go to nipimpressions.com and click on the To Subscribe button at the top.
Caleb, don't you feel a bit ashamed getting your pulp and paper news electronically?
Surely. We have to keep up to keep ahead of the competition. I like to think we use paper when it's smart to use. In fact, when people ask me this kind of question about paper use, I direct them to twosides.us. Not related to Pappardello, Two Sides does have the answers on intelligent paper usage today.
Wow, Caleb, I've learned something. Pappardello for the latest news, Two Sides for intelligent paper usage.
If you want to get the news when it is fresh, go to www.nipimpressions.com and click on the To Subscribe button in the top navigation bar. Served up fresh daily. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
This may seem to be counter to our mantra around here about safety and maintenance. It is not. The real managers are figuring out how to do maintenance properly, operate safely, and push as close to running continuously as possible. Take maintenance as a discussion point for a minute. I still see a lot of maintenance prep work, cleanup work, and so forth, which can be done while the paper machine is running, yet is being done while it is down. My view is when the machine goes down for maintenance, the maintenance team should be standing by their respective jobs for the outage, wrenches in hand. This should not be the time they start strolling out of the maintenance shop pushing work kit carts for their projects of the day. Work kit carts should be finished and double-checked at least the day before the shutdown. And by the way, do you have first aid kits on your work kit carts? You should, on every one of them. So we started out talking about running flat out 24/7 and ended up talking about work kit, carts, and safety. Why? Because they're inextricably linked. You can't come close to running all you can run until you have safety and maintenance under control in every aspect you use the word safety and maintenance. There are many things which can be done to improve uptime. If you haven't figured it out already, one of the key matters is to be ready for downtime. Then work the downtime activities hard, very hard. One mill I know caters in meals and refreshments for everyone for each and every one of its outages. Why does this make sense? Because they can put the meals and refreshments right next to where the work is. It just might even make sense to bring in porta-potties for the same reason. All the manager has to do is save 15 minutes of downtime and the meal is paid for. At the airport, the plane sitting at the gate is downtime. If you will notice, there is a large countdown clock outdoors at the gate counting down the time the plane has left until pushback. Why don't we put such clocks in paper machine halls? I wouldn't have them count down, however. I would have them count up. In other words, how long have we been down? That way you could always try to improve it. If it is a countdown clock, everyone will be lulled into thinking of using all the time on the clock is still acceptable. For uptime, have a plan for every kind of downtime you can have. If you are still running threading ropes, why don't you have hooks on the inside of the dryer frame so that each time you have to run a rope, you run two, maybe even three? How much time will that save if you cut the time to actually run the rope to once every three times a rope breaks? I could go on all day, but let's get back to the original theme. Your benchmark is 24/7. Nothing else matters. What tricks have you learned to reduce downtime while safely and properly maintaining your machine? We'll give you a chance to tell us in our quiz online this week. For safety this week, nothing I've said above takes away from the safety emphasis. In fact, you'll find the better you plan, the safer you will be. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2015, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Bright Technologies is the leader in high-density extruders for your wet waste problems. Located in Hopkins, Michigan, USA, Bright has a solution to dewater your sludge. With hundreds of installations worldwide, Bright's extruders have a track record of proven performance and are backed by the best warranty in the industry. You can find them online at sebrightproducts.com. That's sebrightproducts.com, or give them a call today at 269-793-7183. That's 269-793-7183.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 13th of April, 2015. The title is Being Thorough. I have never seen a specification or practice written on the specific subject of, quotes, being thorough, end quotes. Many specifications and practices are written specifically about thoroughness required in a particular, unique setting, hence they are about thoroughness, but not in a generic sense. Paper manufacturing specifications, piping and pressure vessel specifications are some of the examples of the latter. Here I am looking for the former. Children are often not thorough, hence thoroughness is taught by parents and by schools. Quotes, pick up your toys, end quotes, can be thought of as the specification imposed on an errant child who has already moved on to the next task. Again, however, it is specific. With maturity comes one's long-term view of thoroughness. Whether it is through examples of a parent, favorite relative, or perhaps a teacher, some people, likely already predisposed to be thorough, pick up the general habit and execute it faithfully. Others, no matter how many examples are thrust in front of them, never get it and never seem to want to get it.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Hi, Caleb. I just finished the latest issue of Paper Times 2000. Want to read it?
What for?
Well, here's an article on a new machine startup at Dynamic Paper in Lahti, Finland.
That's old news.
How about an article on a fire at Pleasant Paper in Holyoke, Massachusetts? Seems there are some things here we need to know.
That happened 6 weeks ago. We have already discussed it in my department.
Well, do you remember David Felder, who used to work here? I see he was promoted to a headquarters job at New Zealand Paper Adventures.
Gosh, Shirley, that happened 4 months ago.
Suddenly, I am feeling out of date. How are you so on top of the news, Caleb?
I go to Popper Tallow Publications with Nip Impressions, Paper Money, and Pulp and Paper Radio International. I get the news when it happens, not on some publishing schedule.
Really?
Yes. News, analysis, opinion, and insight served up fresh daily on newsletters, websites, internet radio, and via LinkedIn. I can get most of these on my phone. They even have a service called Simultweet. Popper Tallow's everywhere.
Wow, how do I sign up?
Just go to nipimpressions.com and click on the To Subscribe button at the top.
Caleb, don't you feel a bit ashamed getting your pulp and paper news electronically?
Surely. We have to keep up to keep ahead of the competition. I like to think we use paper when it's smart to use. In fact, when people ask me this kind of question about paper use, I direct them to twosides.us. Not related to Popper or Tallow, Two Sides does have the answers on intelligent paper usage today.
Wow, Caleb, I've learned something. Popper or Tallow for the latest news, Two Sides for intelligent paper usage.
If you want to get the news when it is fresh, go to www.nipimpressions.com and click on the To Subscribe button in the top navigation bar. Served up fresh daily. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
Sloppy work, personally or in a group, is prima facie evidence of not being thorough. It is aggravating, troublesome, expensive, and life-threatening. How many accidents at work and elsewhere are caused by not being thorough? Why do young people have more automobile accidents than older folks? And I am just talking about ages 16 to 25. Some of this problem is distraction, but many accidents are caused by not being thorough, too. For instance, coming to a complete stop, looking in all directions for hazards. In our mills, how much work, especially in maintenance, is caused by lack of thoroughness? My wild guess is probably something in the neighborhood of 25%. How many accidents are caused in our mills by a lack of thoroughness? In the Safety Show 15 on Pulp and Paper Radio International, I can think of several accidents we described there that were the result of not being thorough. So how do we teach thoroughness? I have to admit I am not sure. I think it involves training people to slow down and think more. However, there's a danger here when it comes to those that are not energetic to start with. They will see this as a license to go real slow. We certainly cannot write specifications for everything, although when a lack of thoroughness causes one to be dragged into court as a negligent party, the plaintiff's attorneys would have you believe everything can be specified. And this attitude over time has caused a preponderance of rules and regulations to be promulgated throughout society. Unfortunately, I believe it has also stifled creativity. My last thought relates to the concept of teaching one's self to be more thorough. This will work as a self-disciplined approach should you be inclined to better yourself. It is simply this. When you are conscious that you are in a hurry to finish the task you are doing, which may or may not be unpleasant, in order to rush off to a task you very much want to do, you are in a danger zone. You can train yourself to set off internal alarm bells when you find such conditions exist. Once the alarm bells go off, you can slow down, check for thoroughness in the project you are attempting to complete, and make sure it is done in every sense of the word. However, I just do not know how to teach this to someone who does not already have a predisposition to be thorough. So frustratingly, we come to the end of this column, and I don't feel I've been thorough. Perhaps you can help out by taking our quiz this week. It's online. For safety this week, safety is indeed about thoroughness, isn't it? Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2015, Popper Italo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Fulton Systems is North America's leader in terms of thermocompressor and steam systems installations. Our references in the paper industry includes over 80 years of support, thousands of operating thermocompressors, and hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Additionally, we provide dryer section performance audits, steam and condensate system design, and consulting services. Give us a call at 770-447-1400 or visit our website at www.fultonsystems.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 20th of April, 2015. Title, When Everyone Seems to Be Against You. First, Be absolutely sure you are correct on the path you are taking. Test this several ways, by checking with people you trust who are not directly involved, and the outcome of what you are attempting to do is one of the best ways. Hint, these people are usually called mentors. Once you are confident of the path, move to a plan of action. But first, how did you find yourself in this position to start with? Most likely you were brought in to change what has been occurring, or perhaps you own the company and have decided you must change direction. No matter how you find yourself in this position, you must act. Further, you must act judiciously. Make two sets of plans. One you keep close to your chest. The other is the public one, which you allow your subordinates and superiors to see. Then start talking. Talk to everyone involved and talk to them often and repetitively. Challenge them on their position, usually diplomatically, but occasionally you may have to, quotes, go berserk, end quotes, depending on the audience and the progress not being attained. A caution on going berserk. Don't do this often. If you do, people become numb to it. Or worse yet, modify their behavior to make sure they don't cause this reaction. The best manager I ever saw at this did it randomly. It took me years and my own departure from that venue to see what he was doing. I confronted him. He admitted his berserk moments were entirely random, infrequent, and designed to keep everyone on their toes. When he got conditions to where he wanted them, he stopped this behavior completely.
And now let's pause a moment for this commercial message.
Hi, Caleb. I just finished the latest issue of Paper Times 2000. Want to read it?
What for?
Well, here's an article on a new machine startup at Dynamic Paper in Lahti, Finland.
That's old news.
How about an article on a fire at Pleasant Paper in Holyoke, Massachusetts? Seems there are some things here we need to know.
That happened 6 weeks ago. We have already discussed it in my department.
Well, do you remember David Felder, who used to work here? I see he was promoted to a headquarters job at New Zealand Paper Adventures.
Gosh, Shirley, that happened 4 months ago.
Suddenly, I am feeling out of date. How are you so on top of the news, Caleb?
I go to Pappardello Publications with Nip Impressions, Paper Money, and Pulp and Paper Radio International. I get the news when it happens, not on some publishing schedule.
Really?
Yes. News, analysis, opinion, and insight served up fresh daily on newsletters, websites, internet radio, and via LinkedIn. I can get most of these on my phone. They even have a service called Simultweet. Pappardello's everywhere.
Wow, how do I sign up?
Just go to nipimpressions.com and click on the To Subscribe button at the top.
Caleb, don't you feel a bit ashamed getting your pulp and paper news electronically?
Shirley, we have to keep up to keep ahead of the competition. I like to think we use paper when it's smart to use. In fact, when people ask me this kind of question about paper use, I direct them to twosides.us. Not related to Pappardello, Two Sides does have the answers on intelligent paper usage today.
Wow, Caleb, I've learned something. Pappardello for the latest news, Two Sides for intelligent paper usage.
If you want to get the news when it is fresh, go to www.nipimpressions.com and click on the To Subscribe button in the top navigation bar. Served up fresh daily. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
Talking will assure the people involved that you are listening to them, and indeed you are. However, you are not letting them divert you from the course you have set and vetted with your mentors. Slowly, carefully, this talk will turn them to your way of thinking. If you are trying to change an organization that's been in existence for a long time, expect your efforts to take a long time. Progress will not necessarily be steady. It may come in bursts accompanied by occasional backsliding. Sometimes silence will be your most effective weapon. What? Jim, I thought you just told me to talk to everyone. Silence can be used when people confront you with comments that are clearly meant to divert you from your path. It can also be used when you hear rumors about your methods, objectives, and so forth. Silence, stony silence, is a very effective form of communications. In other words, use talking and silence judiciously. Both can be powerful. While we are talking auditorially, make sure you spend plenty of time listening too. Listening will expose your subordinates' fears and prejudices. Likely they are fearful just because you want to change things. They may be prejudiced against your changes. Ever heard, "We tried that before, it didn't work"? That is a prejudicial statement. In other words, the speaker has prejudged the results of what you want to do. What is the root cause of their fear? They may be held accountable in ways they have not been held accountable before. They may be required to do tasks for which they do not feel qualified or do not want to do. They may fear losing their job, status, or free time. There are many reasons they can be fearful. You have to find out what these are, that's listening, and then react in an appropriate manner. Their prejudices, besides, we already tried that, may emanate from their lack of acceptance of you as their leader, their disappointment in not being appointed leader themselves, or any number of other issues. You will have to sort these out. They may, without even recognizing it themselves, want to honor some fond leader from the past which they held in high esteem. They will honor that person by refusing to change the precepts in which they believe and which came from that person. These come in all forms. They may be dealing with a report that has been done the same way for 10 years, a style of management that they were taught early in their careers, or something completely off the wall. At the end of the day, realize that being the one charged with changing an organization means you are leading a lonely life. You will be questioned. Question the point you will question yourself. It will take longer than you think. You'll become frustrated and will have to find a place to take out your frustration somewhere other than on your subordinates or your family. In the end, however, the satisfaction is worth it. Changes need to be made, and you made them happen. This is one of the best rewards of your management career. What do you think? You can take our quiz online this week. Safety programs are a place where change is often not required but demanded. If you are put in charge of making a safety change in your facility, accept it. There are not many higher callings. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2015, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerators, the patented aerator that makes a difference. Over 700 units installed since 1999. Airmaster Aerator.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 27th of April, 2015. Title, Where to Start? A person new to the industry was recently talking to me about their personal training plan for learning the ins and outs of manufacturing paper. Of course, they have a plan to take a few short courses, read some training materials, and watch some videos. Then they started talking to me about their self-designed, on-the-job training. I asked them where in the process they were starting. They told me they were starting at the wet end, more precisely stock prep, and moving through the process. I challenged this. I restated my mantra, which they already knew. The most important machine in any business is the invoice printer. Work to spin the invoice printer. Then I pointed out on the machine floor, the element that represents the invoice printer is the finished rolls of paper headed to the warehouse. These are the, quotes, invoice printer, end quotes. Make it spin. So start with the rolls coming off the winder. Are they what the customers want? Are they made and protected in such a way that the customer desires them and is willing to pay top dollar for them?
And now let's pause a moment for this commercial message.
Hi, Caleb. I just finished the latest issue of Paper Times 2000. Want to read it?
What for?
Well, here's an article on a new machine startup at Dynamic Paper in Lahti, Finland.
That's old news.
How about an article on a fire at Pleasant Paper in Holyoke, Massachusetts? Seems there are some things here we need to know.
That happened 6 weeks ago. We have already discussed it in my department.
Well, do you remember David Felder, who used to work here? I see he was promoted to a headquarters job at New Zealand Paper Adventures.
Gosh, Shirley, that happened 4 months ago.
Suddenly, I am feeling out of date. How are you so on top of the news, Caleb?
I go to Pappardello Publications with Nip Impressions, Paper Money, and Pulp and Paper Radio International. I get the news when it happens, not on some publishing schedule.
Really?
Yes. News, analysis, opinion, and insight served up fresh daily on newsletters, websites, internet radio, and via LinkedIn. I can get most of these on my phone. They even have a service called SimulTweet. Pappardello's everywhere.
Wow, how do I sign up?
Just go to nipimpressions.com and click on the To Subscribe button at the top.
Caleb, don't you feel a bit ashamed getting your pulp and paper news electronically?
Surely. We have to keep up to keep ahead of the competition. I like to think we use paper when it's smart to use. In fact, when people ask me this kind of question about paper use, I direct them to twosides.us. Not related to Pappardello, Two Sides does have the answers on intelligent paper usage today.
Wow, Caleb, I've learned something. Pappardello for the latest news, Two Sides for intelligent paper usage.
If you want to get the news when it is fresh, go to www.nipimpressions.com and click on the To Subscribe button in the top navigation bar. Served up fresh daily. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
I suggested he spend a great deal of time in the dry end testing lab. This is the first major stop in his quest. Learn every test. Learn what the testers know about building a reel of paper that will meet the test. Challenge them and learn everything they know, but go beyond that. Become more knowledgeable than the testers on what makes a great roll of saleable paper. Then as this person swims upstream on his journey of self-education, he should challenge everything he sees against this standard. How does this element on this machine help us consistently make tests in the dry-end lab? I'll submit this as a gauntlet we should put every machine through on a regular basis. I'll suggest if your machine is over 2 weeks old, there is some device on your machine that does not help you make the test in the dry-end lab. That device may be taking an extraordinary amount of focus and cost just to be maintained, a device that is useless to the bigger scheme of things. Granted, we have elements and equipment that don't help us make the test per se. They help with speed or fiber reduction or perhaps energy reduction. Yet everything must have a reason to exist, and the first bar to cross is the quality testing one. How does this thingamajig help us meet the testing requirements required by the customer? As for everything that does not pass the bar, so to speak, take it out and scrap it. This is just like housekeeping. In fact, it is a subset of housekeeping. Our objective in housekeeping is to remove everything that does not help us achieve the objectives on our site. Get it out of the way, scrap it, get it off the property so we spend no more time and treasure dealing with it. The first time you do a dry-end audit of your machine, the name I'll attach to the process described in this column, it will be a monstrous task. For you'll be amazed at how many things, devices, elements, and items on your machine have nothing to do with making quality paper at the highest possible rate of production. Once it is done, however, life will be much better, for the junk will be out of the way. Then I suggest you do it once a year thereafter. It will take less time to do, but it will still be quite valuable. Obsolete equipment, totes, pumps, and so forth cost you money. They are in the way of clearly seeing your process. They are safety and fire hazards. They can inadvertently cause downtime. Get rid of them. What do you think? Take a quick assessment of obsolete items in your facility and let us know what you find in your quiz this week. In our quiz this week. Be discreet. We don't want to embarrass you or cause any confidentiality breaches. You may take the quiz online. For safety this week, I'll emphasize that the obsolete elements and items still on site can be assured of providing one thing, a less safe place to work. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2015, Pappardello Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.